Hey there, good people. Welcome to Blackberries, where we share sweet hand-picked stories, especially for Black kids. Presented by The H Word. On today's episode, I'll be reading The Story of Santa Claus by L. Frank Baum. You can find the link to this story in the episode description. The Story of Santa Claus by L. Frank Baum. Laughing Valley was a place where there were no sad people. Everyone was very happy and cheerful. The river ran freely through the mountains by the green banks. The sunbeams were warm and comfortable. The wind was soft and made the tree leaves sing. The flowers bloomed happily in their grass beds. All through the valley spread joy and happiness. On one side of the valley was the mysterious forest of Burzee, and on the other side were the caves of the demons. And deep in this wonderful valley stood Santa's massive castle. It was huge and beautiful. Many workmen of different kinds worked hard all year long. There were Ryls, Pixies, Knooks, and Fairies, and all of them helped Santa in manufacturing the beautiful toys for children all around the world. Everyone loved Santa except the demons. They hated and despised the beloved Santa. There were 5 demons in all, and they all had separate caves that were linked to each other. The first cave was of the demon of selfishness. Then came the demon of envy. Next was the cave of the demon of hatred. Then the cave of the demon of malice. And finally, the cave of the demon of repentance. The entrance to the cave of the demon of selfishness was beautifully decorated, and the pathway was large and clean. Yet no one ever showed up. One day, all the demons got together and had a meeting for one and one reason only. Santa Claus. "My cave has become lonesome," began the demon of selfishness. "Santa Claus gives away so many pretty presents to children all around the world that they become generous. No one ever comes to visit my cave." "I have the same problem," said the demon of envy. "The children are so happy with him. I can't charm them into being envious anymore." "It's bad for me as well," said the demon of hatred angrily. "Since the children do not come to you, they do not come to me." The others agreed. Their caves had been neglected for a long time, and the demons were not happy about it. "Something has to be done about this, Santa," exclaimed the demon of envy angrily. "This is bad for business." They all agreed at once, but the demon had no idea how to stop Santa Claus. Finally, they agreed that all of them would try to lure Santa into their caves, where he would get lost in their dark mazes, and he would trip and fall to his death. So the very next day, the demon of selfishness went to Santa. It was well known that Santa worked all year round so that he could bring toys to the children on Christmas Eve. When the demon of selfishness found Santa, he was surrounded by a group of his assistants. "These toys are very pretty, so bright and beautiful," said the demon of selfishness. "It is such a shame that you give all these toys away to noisy boys and fussy little girls. You should keep them for yourself, after all. They will end up breaking these pretty things anyway." Santa laughed when he heard this. His eyes twinkled and his cheeks turned red. Finally, Santa said to the demon of selfishness, "It does not matter. The children are not noisy and fussy when I give them the presents. If I can make the children happy only for one day in the whole year, I'll be happy with that." The demon of selfishness realized it was impossible to take Santa Claus to their caves like this. They needed a new plan. So the demon of selfishness returned. "I have failed," he told the rest. "Santa is not selfish." So the demon of envy went next. He was sure he could get Santa to be envious and he could bring Santa back to their cave. When he saw him, he said, "The toy stores these days are full of toys just as beautiful and pretty as yours. And they make those toys through machines and sell them for money, unlike you. You make them by hand and work all year round. You don't even get anything." Santa laughed at the demon. Again, he refused to believe him. Santa was quite happy with what he did and how he did things. The only thing Santa ever wanted was to spread joy and happiness. "I can give them the toys I make once a year, and I'm happy with that," Santa told the demon of envy. "There are many children, but only one Santa. And my work is of love and kindness. I would be ashamed if I took money from them. I like the toy shops. They keep the children happy and amused throughout the year." The demon of hatred was convinced he could get Santa to their caves after the first two demons failed. "Good morning, Santa," he said. "I have some bad news for you." Santa Claus was not interested in hearing any of it. Bad news should be kept a secret and should never be told. "But this is the kind of bad news you cannot run away from," said the demon of hatred. "Throughout the world, there are many people and children who don't believe in you, Santa. They have wronged you. You must be angry with them." Santa continued with his work, paying no attention to the demon. It was all rubbish to Santa. "And then there are those who resent you, who despise you and hate you, Santa. They hate you because you make the children happy and call you selfish," the demon continued. "Such cruel words for you, such cruel feelings towards you. You must take revenge." "But I don't hate them," replied Santa. "They don't cause me any harm but themselves. These people and their children become unhappy, and I should help them. I do not need revenge." All the efforts the demons put was in vain. They could not lure Santa into their cave. The demons were displeased. Santa had been clever enough to know that the demons were up to no good and were full of mischief and deceit. So the demons decided to rely on force rather than their honeyed words, which had failed time and time again. The demons were well aware that they could not touch Santa as long as he was in the valley, but they knew Santa would leave Laughing Valley on Christmas Eve, and that would be the best time to injure him. So the demons laid their plans and waited for Christmas Eve to arrive. At last, Christmas Eve was here. The moon shone brightly in the sky and the fresh snow sparkled as Santa rode away in his mighty sleigh full of toys. He sang and whistled a merry tune as he cracked his whip, and then suddenly a strange thing happened. Out of nowhere, a rope shot through the moonlight with a noose on the end, and it settled on Santa's big body and arms. With a jerk, Santa fell off his sleigh and fell headfirst in the snow. The sleigh, with all the toys and the reindeer, sped away. Santa was surprised at this event. He had no doubt it was the demons doing. Soon the demons came to get Santa. Many coils of thick rope were used to tie Santa up, and then they brought Santa to their cave as they had planned. In secret, the demons chained a rock wall to Santa so that he may not escape. The demons were happy with their deed. They were laughing at Santa Claus. "How will the children react when they see their stockings are empty and they find no presents under the tree?" "They will throw tantrums, scream, and stomp. Their parents will scold them," the demons laughed, "and then they will willingly run to the caves of selfishness, hatred, and malice. What a delight." But Christmas Eve was not ruined. See, the demons did not know that on this Christmas Eve, Santa had decided to bring four of his favorite assistants along with him. Peter the Nook, Nutter the Rile, Kilter the Pixie, and Whisk, a small fairy. They all were quite useful when it came to distributing presents on Christmas Eve. They had been sleeping soundly underneath the seat when Santa had been taken away. The little creatures had not realized that Santa had been kidnapped. When everything had become silent and could not hear their master singing, little Whisk stuck his head out and saw that Santa was not there. "Whoa!" he cried in surprise. The reindeer were speeding away without anyone to give them directions. They realized that Santa was not there, but they did not know what happened to him. "What shall we do?" asked Whisk. "We shall go back and look for our master," Nutter spoke with great determination. "No, no," said Rile, who was the most dependable of the lot. "If we go back, we will not be able to deliver these gifts to the children." "It is obvious that some wicked creatures have captured our master," Nutter said thoughtfully, "and I am certain the main objective of this was to make the children unhappy. We must go on ourselves and deliver these toys to the children." It was good advice. The little creatures set their works. This year, the little assistants would deliver the presents. Peter and Rile handled the reins of the reindeer and directed the reindeer. Finally, they made it out of the forest to the houses where little children were in their beds and dreaming of the presents that they were going to receive. The assistants had a difficult task ahead of them. All these years, they had only assisted Santa Claus. He had been there to help them and guide them and correct them if they made a mistake. This time, however, the assistants were alone. They did know the children as Santa knew them. The assistants were bound to make a few mistakes. So this Christmas Eve, Mamie Brown, a girl who loved playing with dolls, received a drum, and a boy, Charlie Smith, who loved nothing but playing outside, wanted a pair of rubber boots that would keep his feet dry, received a sewing set. He thought Santa was a fraud, for what would a boy do with a sewing set? But in the end, everything went fine. There were only a few mistakes, such as the one with Mamie Brown and Charlie Smith. And if there had been more of those, the demons might have succeeded with their evil plans. But Santa's assistants worked hard and intelligently. Soon the sun started to rise, and the reindeer and the assistants were coming back to Laughing Valley. The deer were put in their shed, and the work had been done. Santa was yet to be found and brought home, so Little Whisk transported himself to the Fairy Queen, who lived deep in the forest of Burzee, to seek her assistance in finding Santa. Once he was there, it did not take time to realize what happened. The queen promised to help the assistants in their search for their master. Whisk returned to the castle and told the others what happened. They sat together and decided on their plans. Santa was not happy. He was worried about the children not being happy because he could not be there. Santa had faith in his assistants, but he could not help but worry a little. It was almost Christmas Day. The children are waking, Santa, cried the demon of malice. They'll wake up to empty stockings. They'll quarrel and scream and cry. Our caves will be full today, Santa, so very full. Santa refused to give in to the demons. He did not reply, which made the demon of malice send the demon of repentance. The last of the demons had a pleasant voice and soft features, unlike the rest. The mischief is done now, he spoke in a calm voice. You cannot visit the children for another year. It is true, Santa replied in his merry voice. I cannot visit my dear children until next year. For the very first time in centuries, I have not visited them. The little children shall be greatly disappointed, he whispered in a sad tone. But it can't be helped now. They will become sad and flood these caves, and I too shall have some visitors. Do you ever repent yourself? Santa asked with curiosity. Yes, replied the demon of repentance, many times. But you see, repentance only comes after the evil deed is done. And I repent that I assisted in your capture, but it cannot be helped now. So who do no evil never visit your cave? Santa said. That is true, replied the demon of malice. Today, even those who have done no evil are about to visit my cave, and that makes me sad. To prove to you, Santa, that I truly repent for my part in your capture, I will let you escape. The demon of repentance opened the back door and let the sunlight flood in. Santa could smell the fresh air. I bear no malice, he told Santa. I believe that the world without you will be dull, and I hope you will forgive me. I am not a bad person, and I believe I accomplish a lot of good things in the world. So good morning and a Merry Christmas to you. And then he let Santa go. Santa stepped out in the morning sunlight. Soon after that, he was walking through the snow, whistling softly to himself. He was on his way to his castle when he came across an army of various creatures marching with immense determination. They seemed to be marching towards the caves of the demons. The army was led by Peter, Rowl, Nutter, and Kilter. They had assembled an army to rescue their dear master from the evil demons. Although these tiny creatures appeared to be peaceful and soft, they were armed with heavenly powers that were terrible for those who angered them. When they saw Santa walking towards them, they ran to him. The little creatures surrounded him and danced around him happily. Peter, Rowl, Nutter, and Kilter hugged Santa affectionately. It is pointless to wage war against the demons, Santa told them after giving his thanks. They have their place in this world, and it cannot be destroyed. So all of them went back to their castle, dancing and singing. Everyone was glad that their Santa was safe and sound. The army went back to their regular jobs, leaving Santa with his assistants to talk about things. We managed well this time, the little fairy told Santa, but you should make an effort and not being captured the next time, sir. We won't be able to carry out your wishes so well. Then the fairy told Santa that the unhappiness he had found in the children that morning. Santa immediately corrected the mistake and sent a doll to Mamie Brown and a pair of rubber boots to Charlie Smith. As for the demons, they never troubled Santa ever again. Thanks for listening to Blackberry's Little Ones. What did you think about the story?
You can tell me all about it in a voice message. Ask mom and dad to find the instructions in the episode description, and I may play your response on the next episode. Grownups, check us out on the H Word at www.thehwordblogs.com and at the H Word Blogs on social media for more content. That's THEHWORDBLOGS. See you next week.